Hey there, this is Lael. In case you didn't recognize my voice, this is what my voice sounds like. I wanted to take a minute and reflect on the email that I sent out last Friday, which was February 11th. I don't know if you got it in your inbox or if it was forwarded to you, but it sort of exploded my inbox after I hit send in a good way. And it was so much fun to read your responses. So let me just pause and reiterate here how much I love when you hit reply and you let me know how things landed with you, if things resonated with you and your interpretation and your experience, because it helps me over here to not feel so alone. And it just, it helps illuminate the community of She Changes that is there. So, please do that. It's awesome. And I'm going to read that email. If you missed the email, I'm going to read that to you in a second because it's a story that I didn't plan on writing. And I want to give you a sense of my process. If you had told me a couple of years ago that I would be writing to my audience of She Changes weekly, I would have done two things. I probably would have rolled my eyes and potentially I would have given you the finger. And yet, here I am, having written my audience weekly since last October. Now, this correlated with my decision to get off social media, which was sort of a quiet decision. I don't even know that I've gone public with it, but there it is. I've sort of gently faded very quietly, didn't make it a big hairy deal. If you're out there, you might just notice that I haven't done any posts in a while on social media. But I wanted to deepen and create more intimacy with the people that have opted into my community. And I know I'm a writer, and writing is where I figure myself out. And I hear very frequently from people that when they read what I've written or when you hear a story that I'm telling either on stage or in my blog or in my emails, it feels like I'm in your head and it feels like I'm speaking directly to you. And in many cases, I hear people say, I feel like I could have written that. And that to me is just high praise because if one more person in the world feels like they're not alone or they're not crazy for thinking what they're thinking or feeling what they're thinking, that's just like a gold star in my book. That's awesome. So, I've been doing these weekly emails, and I find I have some sense of what I want to say when I sit down to write them. I was originally thinking, you know, I should probably write these on Tuesday or Wednesday at the height of the week, at the zenith of a week, and fuck that shit. I just cannot get my act together, and I have absolutely no desire to do it. When I do have a desire is always on Friday morning. So I'm 53 years old, and I've just started to say, you know what, I'm just going to design around my operating system, and whoever opts into that and it works for will find me. Otherwise, you know, all the best. So this is what I've got. So Friday is my day, and I sit down, and I generally have some idea of what I'm going to say, but I've realized that I need the audience to figure out what I want to say. And it reminds me of a speaker from the She Speaks stage. If you're not familiar with She Speaks, it's a annual storytelling event that I haven't done in a couple of years because of COVID. But I had a speaker once who was literally standing in the back of the room as I was getting ready to bring her up on stage. And I found out after the fact that she was like, Lael, I had no idea how I was going to end. I knew how I was going to start. I knew generally what it was going to be, but I had no idea where I was going or what the end was. And she told me that it was only when she was in front of the audience that she got the ending, that she knew where it was going to land. And it just reaffirmed for me at that event She Speaks, and also in my own writing, the power of the audience to participate in art and how it informs. So when I write every Friday morning, I need you. I feel you over there because I'm having a conversation with you, and hopefully it feels that way. So I just want to thank you. And and let you know that I feel you over there, even if you never respond to me. I don't know really who's on that list. I don't check the stats and the numbers, but I feel you. So I just want to pause and give you a heartfelt thank you for your participation in this process, because at the core of this weekly email that I send out is gratitude, because I feel better having written. And because of you and your catcher's mitt, and I have a place to send it, it goes. And then when I hear back from you, it's just freaking awesome. So thank you for that. So I'm going to read you last week's email in case you missed it, or in case you read it, but you want to hear it in my voice. I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to give you some insight of what happened next, what I heard from people, and my own experience in the wake of that. So here we go. Here's the email from last week. A potato farmer named Clyde taught me how to clap for joy. A year ago this March, my family said goodbye to one hell of a good man. His name was Clyde, and he was my father-in-law. He was the first potato farmer I ever met. He was like this awesome combination of the Marlboro Man, Mr. Miyagi, and Jimmy Stewart. High school kids who picked potatoes for him referred to him as Cool Clyde. He was a bit of a legend in northern Maine. Everybody loved Clyde. I was his favorite daughter-in-law, or so he told me. I was also his only daughter-in-law, but he still made me feel special. The image I will always hold in my heart of Clyde is him standing on the porch of his understated ranch in northern Maine as we drove into the driveway for a visit. No sooner would we get out of the car then we would hear the sound I loved most, Clyde's clapping. He had this habit of clapping his hands 1, 2, 3 times in anticipation of getting a hug from me or anyone he loved. It's like his small, wiry body couldn't contain the joy it was feeling, so he discharged some of it by clapping in advance. This is how it looks to anticipate joy. So let me ask you this. How do you anticipate the experience of joy? That might seem like a strange question to ask. How often do we ask this of each other? Think about how frequently we do these. We dress rehearse disappointment. We brace for heartbreak. We anticipate worst case scenarios. But anticipating joy? Not so much. Why is that? Our relationship to pleasure? Our superstition that if we say things out loud, we might curse them? Our love affair with struggle and adversity? Our belief that things that feel easy are too good to be true? Sometimes I listen to our language in the society and how it shapes our experiences. We talk a lot about our ability to do hard things, and that's great. But can we also do easy things? Sure, we can make it happen, endure, and plow ahead. But can we also receive with grace as if it's our birthright? Must we always earn it or sweat it out in order for ease, joy, or pleasure to be justified? Let me ask you this. How often do you allow yourself the experience of anticipating joy? And is it a full-bodied experience or is it qualified and conditional? When COVID first began nearly 2 years ago, I remember reading something that groovy travel guy, Rick Steves, wrote about for the New York Times Magazine in response to people being shuttered and not able to travel. He shared there were 3 parts of any trip. 1, before the trip, the anticipation of going on it, the planning, the preparation to leave. 2, during the trip, the actual experience of traveling, as we are typically thinking of it. 3, after the trip, reflecting, telling stories, sharing memories of the experience we had. I'd never really thought about traveling that way, but once I read that, I realized why I love it so much. It wasn't just about the place I visited. It was the halo effect it created around my life that was much larger than the trip itself. It was the slow melt on the tongue in advance and how the flavor lingered in the mouth long after the experience of tasting joy. Isn't that what experiencing joy is? An awesome trip? As Clyde's favorite daughter-in-law, I've decided that one of the ways I'm going to honor his life is to anticipate joy more in my life. I'm going to actively prepare for its visit. I'm going to celebrate its arrival in advance of it, even getting out of the car. I'm going to regale others with animated stories from my trip with joy. But you know what I'm really going to do? I'm going to throw my door wide open for joy to visit me. I'm giving it unlimited access to my life. I'm acknowledging its presence loudly and proudly as a way to honor its existence. Clap, clap, clap. It turns out Clyde grew much more than potatoes. He was a joy farmer as well. Here's to planting more of those seeds in the ground this year. Here's to a bumper crop of joy. Sending you much love and a heart-shaped ember for your fire as a Valentine. Mwah. So that's my email from last week. And if you've never received an email, that's sort of how it feels. And hopefully you hear my voice in your head as you're reading it, if you're not familiar with my voice. And now you are, if you've listened to this. This is what I sound like, FYI. So forward that to someone you love. Maybe they'll listen to it. Maybe they'll join the party we're having in here. But I wanted you to get a double dip because that one exploded my inbox. So I want to tell you what happened next. So I sent that email and then all of these emails came back from you. And most of them, I kid you not, started with clap, clap, clap. And it was hysterical. All of you said clap, clap, clap in the very beginning without knowing it. So kudos to Clyde for creating a meme. A 95-year-old guy created a meme. And then right after that, you started telling me the things you were doing that were anticipating joy and you were mulling over wanting to make more space for that. And I did sync this with Valentine's Day and I did correlate this with love very intentionally. So you started telling me stories of like poring over maps of loving to go snowshoeing in the woods and hiking and camping and being outside and how you pored over maps, I think they call them topo maps, you know, of like where would you go for hikes even though you were injured and you couldn't actually get outside or you weren't available yet, quite yet. You wanted to anticipate the joy of being outside again. People pored over travel books, maybe spurred on by my story about Rick Steves. I heard people saying that they were just sort of kindling things. And then I took it to my own weekend. And I was like, okay, Lael, like, what are you doing to anticipate joy? And I know I wrote about doing that, but like, what specifically was I doing to anticipate joy? And I was reminded of like two different ways, the big ways, the very obvious ways. But I was more intrigued about the little everyday ways because that's what I was looking for. The big ways are self-evident and we're trained to celebrate the extraordinary things. Like for instance, I remember the first time on my 20th anniversary, my husband and I went to Paris for the first time. And I remember having bought the ticket like 6 months in advance. And every time I would see an airplane way up in the sky, I would say Paris because that visual held the placeholder of a promise of a trip that I had said yes to and in fact had bought a ticket to go on in the future. So that was me anticipating joy in a very obvious, extraordinary way. I don't go to Paris every day. Boy, I would love to, but I don't. So that's the extraordinary. But more and more, I'm intrigued about the ordinary. What are the ordinary, everyday ways that I could anticipate joy? And so I was thinking about this, like, you know, smoke coming out of my ears sort of way, like, Leo, what is it? Get on it. And what I noticed in that moment is I was sitting on the couch and I was surrounded by cookbooks and I was writing recipes in my handwriting in this book that I got, this notebook. I wanted someday my kids and my grandkids to see my handwriting and be like, oh, here's Gigi. I'll be a Gigi someday. That's what we call the woman in our family. Here's Gigi's handwriting about the recipe that she makes about Jeanette's kale salad, her famous kale salad, or her famous chocolate chip cookies, or her whatever. I wanted them to see my handwriting. And so I'd been intending to do that forever and ever. And it was like this thing on my list that I wanted to do. And for whatever reason, I found myself this past Saturday I was probably procrastinating something else I needed to be doing, like paying the bills. And I was sitting there surrounded by cookbooks, which, hello, is my happy place. And I paused and I looked and I was like, this is me anticipating joy. Because while the actual writing of the recipes and the going through the little recipe box and the going through all the ripped out thousands of little recipes that I have and the, like, you know, messy nasty that is all these recipes and sort of trying to organize them, what I'm doing is I'm anticipating a gathering. And that is that's my happy place. I love to feed people. I love to gather my people. In many ways, this email that I send you every Friday, that's my gathering. It's an offering. At its core, I am feasting. I'm giving you something that is like cooking a meal. And I delight, absolute delight in it. And I realized, wow, this is me anticipating joy. Because while we're not gathering now, at least we're not in my family feeding people, someday we will soon. And I will have all these recipes in anticipation of that. So that was me clap, clap, clapping. So I just wanted to give you a flavor of the specifics and show you how that sort of can melt on your tongue a week after an email. Even my own tongue, I wrote it. And I'm still sort of sitting with the everyday, ordinary, how do I clap in joy in the everyday moments? What does that look like? Because I want more of that. That's very nourishing to me. So here I am just pausing to do this. I wanted to embed this in this week's email for you to hear my own voice, maybe double dip on an email. Share it with a friend if you're so moved. But thank you, thank you, thank you. Sending you so much love from Maine.